Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, pal, we're live.
Hey, we're live, pal. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the A-Side Live Chat here on MMAFighting.com. Welcome, everyone, to our welcome everyone from Twitter and Facebook. As you know, we're streaming from there now. So if you're new to the show, new to the programming, welcome. Hello to all of our longtime YouTube listeners. And for those of us, those of you that are listening after this is live on all the podcasts, we haven't forgot about you. We just hear, we don't hear from you until the show is over, so we don't get to interact much. But hello, everyone. I am, of course, Jose Youngs, host of the A-Side Live Chat. We're 1 hour early because Bellator decided they needed to do a media in the right in the middle of our normally scheduled A-Side slot. But that's neither here nor there. Welcome back this week, Kristen King, longtime friend of the show. She's my friend and yours. Kristen, how's life in Florida?
Life is good in Florida. I can't really complain, honestly. Thank you guys for having me back.
Yeah, we've been wanting to get Kristen back on for a long time, and today's the day it's done. And of course, on the ones and twos, Casey, how's your Cinco de Mayo been?
It's not Cinco de Mayo. It is the 2-year anniversary of me marrying Esther freaking Lynn.
All right, that's fair.
Aw, happy anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary, Casey. Happy anniversary, Mexico, for winning, defeating Texas in that one battle.
Yeah. F.U. Texas.
Didn't work out.
Even threw a big wedding to celebrate it.
That's true. Anyway, you guys know the drill. Ask all the questions you want. Kristen, I, or Casey will try to answer it. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, leave it in the comments, or you can tweet at us, or you can message us, or you can go on the MMAFighting.com, find the A-Side post, ask the question there. Casey's man in the comment section, ask any and all things you want. I'm assuming most of it will be about MMA, but you never know. Last week when we had Ant, we talked about 45 minutes on one topic and got very sidetracked. We will try not to do that, but no promises. Right. Anyway.
Here we go. That's it. Got a bunch of questions. I didn't really put them in any order, so let's see what happens.
Good. Let's get weird. Leon and Nate's fight being pushed back from Tristan Gardet on site. Which UFC pay-per-view card do you think Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards would have been better on? UFC 262 or now UFC 263? Or does it even matter? With the fight being pushed back to UFC 263, the minor injury to Nate may have been a blessing in disguise. I think UFC 263 is shaping to be one of the most impressive pay-per-view cards of the year so far. So, yes, for those of you who aren't aware, Nate Diaz or Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz was previously scheduled to be the co-main event. UFC 262 in Houston in a few weeks. It was a five-round co-main event, historic five-round co-main event. That is now happening. UFC 263 on June 12th here in Arizona. No idea if it's going to be five rounds, but we'll get to that in a second. Kristen, which card benefits most from this which card would have benefited most from this fight happening on that card?
I feel like now probably UFC 263, just because it's such a stacked card. Like, we already had Izzy and Vittori. We had Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. And now we have Nate and Leon on this card. I'm truly jealous of all you people in Arizona because you guys are getting such a good card. Yeah, I don't. I know you're happy about this, Jose. You can sleep in your own bed for fight week and all that stuff, and you get a stellar pay-per-view card. That's great. So I feel like UFC 263 benefits the most, and it's just going to be a really fun card. Hopefully it stays together, because for whatever reason, it seems like Leon Edwards always gets the short end of the stick with this type of stuff. I mean, he's been away for a little bit. He recently fought with Bilal Muhammad, but then that ended in controversy due to an eye poke. So I am hoping it sticks together for the sake of this card. And even if it doesn't, it's still going to be a very good card.
Casey, which fight card would benefit the most from Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards being on it?
The Houston card. That card needs it. It's got a fake title fight, and this was clearly the people's main event. So, the Houston card is now just one twisted ankle, one COVID test, one visa, no travel visa doesn't go through that. We don't have a main event. So I know the UFC is, you know, super like crossing fingers and sweating that Houston card comes through with Chandler Oliveira, because if that one drops out, that's a whole lot of bad for the UFC. And the Glendale card.
Glendale, yeah.
Is there a difference?
Yes, very much so.
This card and the Arizona card, it was fine. Now it's just extra loaded. Now it's gonna have, the problem though is it's gonna have three title fights, three 25-minute fights. So, 261, that proved to be awesome. But, you know, it's risky. But here we are.
And I'm looking at the main card.
For which one?
263. I'm trying to see, because obviously Nate, Leon, or Leon Nate would be right below the title fights. So you'd have to bump Craig, Jamal Hill, Damian Maia, Bilal Muhammad, or Drew Dober, Brad Riddell. I imagine they're going to drop the light heavyweight. Maybe Paul Craig, Jamal Hill to the featured ESPN card. Because the rest of that card, well, maybe, because Lauren Murphy and Joanne Calderwood is on that card too. That might have to be the top, like the featured prelim. But I have no idea, because I do not want a six-fight main card, especially with three 25-minute fights. But we were supposed to have three 25-minute fights in Jacksonville, and none of them lasted 25 minutes. So who knows?
Which is very rare.
Very rare.
That also happened to me. That was the second shortest pay-per-view ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
UFC 217 was the same way. That had the Garbrandt getting KO'd by Dillashaw, Rose KO'ing Joanna, and GSP tapping out Bisping. And that was also on the East Coast. So talking about the East Coast cards, the fight gods are just like, you know what? You don't have to stay in the arena until 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But chances are, I think Figueiredo Miranda will probably go 5 rounds again, because that first fight was a banger. And then who knows? Other than that, it's just a bunch of really, really high level. Damian Maia's retirement fight, allegedly, I imagine will stay on the main card. But
his retirement fight?
That's what our own Guillermo Cruz has been reporting, that this would be his last fight. But like, I haven't heard it from Damian Maia.
Yeah, I feel like this.
But I trust Guillermo, and he's been on that beat for a long time. We've been trying to fancy matchmake that fight for a while. We thought it was going to be Diego Sanchez, but that's another can of worms we will probably open later on. But I agree with you, Casey. Houston would have been great, but I'm not complaining if it's on the card.
But you know, it kind of is a bummer if it is true Damian Maia is retiring on the Glendale card. It kind of sucks that Nate and Leon are on that card, because, I mean, of course, because that would be maybe kind of the featured fight outside of the title fights. And now I feel like the Damian Maia retirement is going to get kind of overshadowed no matter what happens, you know. So that's all. Just a bummer for Damian, but, you know, whatever.
He hasn't fought since losing to Gilbert Burns. That was the first pandemic card. Remember, they turned all the fans away. So maybe he's changed his mind. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, you're right.
Congratulations to Guillermo for becoming a dad. So I was going to say, I'll find out from Guillermo, but he has much needed time away from the fight scene to deal with the birth of his first kid.
I like he posted that photo of him and his wife, Carol, and the baby. But the baby was fresh. I mean, it looked like about 30 seconds old. And I was like, that is the freshest baby I've ever seen on Instagram. Wow. So yeah.
I'm pretty sure Jenny Andrade like posted a video of her like giving birth on her Instagram.
All right. Let's talk MMA.
Yeah, don't look for it. They do it differently down in Brazil.
All right. Thank you
very much. Thank you for the question, Tristan. Longtime commenter.
All right. This is kind of a broad question.
Bayaz Rafiq, I apologize if I mispronounce your name on Twitter. How do you see contract works? Please give a thorough explanation. Well, we're the wrong persons to ask. If you want, what's his first name? Jason?
John Nash?
Josh? John Nash. That's right. Nash. Yeah. There's a million Johns, Jasons, whatever's in the world. Yes. He would be the better one to ask because this is basically right up his alley. Or Stephen Morocco probably knows a lot more than we do. But normally fight contracts, a normal one would be like your rookie one, 4-fight deal. You make X amount to make weight. And then if you make weight, you get that. And then if you win, you get the exact same amount as a quote-unquote win bonus plus whatever performance bonus you get. So say you sign a 4-fight contract for 40K to show, 40K to win. You could walk away with air quotes, $80,000 before taxes.
But that's how contracts work for those low level.
Yeah, that is a very low level, and like because I'm not privy to Conor McGregor's finances with the UFC. If that's what you're asking,
generally, UFC contracts work where you sign a contract, you have to obey everything in it, and if the UFC decides they want to change something, they can do it.
Yes. Don't normally get cut off a win. That is proven not to be factual in some cases.
Yeah.
Anyway, go as Steven or John.
And they're super, super, super. UFC is super secretive about what's in their contracts.
So.
Very much so. Yeah. So that's why you don't see fighters and managers just showing their contracts publicly, because I'm pretty sure they can get in trouble for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Four Corner Sports.
I already answered this. You can read it.
With Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards off UFC 262 and moved to UFC 263, who does this favor more for weeks to prep for their opponent? Well, it's Leon versus Nate. Higher ranked opponent gets top billing. I don't care if Nate's more popular. Anyway, Kristen, who does this benefit more for between the fighters?
I mean, I guess Nate, maybe just because he's been away for such a long time and he gets a little bit more to prepare. But then I'm like, it's off the end of an injury. So I'm not really sure how that's going to play a role in his preparation now that he's taken on, like, what rank is Leon Edwards right now? Is he number 3 at welterweight?
He's 3 or 2.
Yeah.
What is he in your own personal rankings? Because the UFC rankings are a pile of poo-poo. So that's all that matters. I just care about your rankings, Kristen.
I put him 2.
Yeah, I would put him at 2 rankings as well. Yeah, I feel like Leon Edwards is probably way overdue for a title shot at this point. And I guess Nate is going to probably need more time to prepare for someone who is probably going to contend for the title by the end of the year. Hopefully, but we really don't know. So I think it's better for Nate.
It's clearly better for Casey? Nate because he's injured.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Because we remember what happened when he lost to Jorge. He said he had a little injury and he wasn't able to get his cardio right. That's what that was his big thing at the end. Like he wanted to pace himself at the beginning so he could kind of pick it up and pick up the pace at the end. And he wasn't able to because his face got gashed open.
He opened up the same cut. From the Pettis fight.
According to the UFC rankings, Leon Edwards is the 3rd ranked welterweight. Like, obviously, Usman's champion, and then Covington, Burns, Edwards. I'd probably, in my rankings, I'd just swap Edwards and Burns, but that's...
Yeah, I think so, too.
One swap's the same. That's the same, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Steven Thompson's 4, and Masvidal fell to 5. I don't have an issue with... I believe Masvidal was 2 or 3.
So, wait, how do you... Yeah. I don't understand. I think we had this. We did an interview with Shane Burgos. After he lost to Emmett, he was ranked number 14, and then he didn't fight for 9 months, and now he's ranked at number 9. He's like, cool. I don't know. I went up 6 spots in the rankings. I didn't fight once.
Yeah, that's odd. Like while he was away, like who fought, who lost, and then he just kind of got
a lot of it. Like if the last time Shane Burgos lost, since then Youssef has lost, Hakeem Duwadu's cracked the top 15, Giyechikadze just like knocked a bunch of people down, so he just got elevated by default, it looks like.
Yeah,
promotion by combat.
Like Wonder Boy went up a spot because Masvidal got knocked out, you know. It's just weird how things, I don't know.
And for whatever reason, Michael Chiesa jumped up one spot.
I feel like all the rankings have like a plus or minus two at least. Like you can rank someone three and they could be four or they could be two. It's like whatever. As long as they're not like 10. It's like, yeah, it's in the area. So who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Once you're in the top five, you're golden. Anyway, thank you for the question. Another one from Four Corner. Four Corner Sports again with Diaz and Edwards and Diaz out of UFC 262, and Randy Costa and Adrian Yanez asking the UFC to bump their fight to UFC 262. What are the chances the UFC puts them on that card, considering they are asking for it, and Yanez is from Houston? Man, it makes sense, but it's the UFC and it's MMA, and this is a silly sport, and nothing we want happens. But Kristen, what are the chances that fight fans and the fighters get what they want?
I mean, it happened with the making of this fight. I mean, this is probably one of the most like wholesome fight bookings that we've seen in recent months, mm-hmm. just because it literally started over such a cute beef between Dr. Pepper and Reese's peanut butter cups. That's hilarious. I love Reese's and I love Dr. Pepper. I eat them together sometimes. So I love this fight. And I hope that if the UFC is seeing what kind of traction this type of stuff is getting on social media, and you see that they're tagging the UFC brass and stuff, I would hope that they add it to the main card. And Yanez is such a good like prospect. So is Costa. That's a perfect showcase fight for this division. Why not put it on the main card?
Well, it is not a loaded card. So, it would fit up there. And and you got in the 35ers, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the best division in the sport. Yeah. Might as well highlight a super. That's actually a perfect opener for the pay per view, to be honest.
I was going to say, have them open the card. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Houston.
There are some really good prelim fights. Not going to lie.
Yeah. Good prelim fights, but not the ones that fans care about.
Hermanson Shabazzian's a scrap.
Yeah.
That's on the prelims? Is that the future prelim?
No. That's right in the middle of ESPN. That's like smack in the middle. Andrea Lee, Antonina Shevchenko, Lando Venata's on the Fight Pass prelims versus Mike Grundy. That's a great fight. Kevin Aguilar. Yeah, there's some good scraps.
Beverly Hills card. Ninja's back. Yeah.
I'm surprised Hermanson Shabazzian's not on the featured prelim or on the pay-per-view, but whatever. Shaka Ray's on the prelims too. Decent scraps. What's the new co-main event? It's Tony Ferguson, Beneil Dariush. Good fight.
That should be the co-main.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that, but it's not Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards, or Leon Edwards, Nate Diaz. Anyway, thank you for the question, Four Corner Sports.
It is true. It is not those two other guys.
Oh, Matt Snell supposedly on this card too. From Azan Zaman, apologies if I mispronounce your name. Questions. Why don't fighters make better use of their interviews by calling out viable opponents? Most of them end up thanking family and sponsors or name someone way ahead of them. Should Anil versus Magny get the co-main event over Cowboy versus Morono? What's next for Ryan Hall? Dude is 37 years old, and I don't think he can be champ. Thoughts on Shabazzian versus the Joker. So we're going to go. Oh. We're going to start at the top. Why don't most fighters make better use? Why don't most fighters make better use of their interviews by calling out viable opponents? Most of them end up thanking family and sponsors or name some way out of them. Well, I don't know. Ask them. I have no idea. I don't personally care. Like, obviously, I would prefer call-outs. Dude, shoot your shot. If you want to fight someone way ahead of you, what are you going to do? What's the worst that could happen? You don't get it? Whatever.
But this question's Mr. Zaman. He goes, most of them end up thanking family and sponsors. Like, how dare they? what do you, he's like,
I mean, you got to make money somehow. So I would hope you thank your sponsors at the end of a fight.
Dude, thank your coaches. Thank the people who got you there. It's like this is a freaking team sport. No one gets there alone.
Most fighters, when they're done fighting, they've been training for 8 to 11 weeks. They just got in a fist fight. They've been punched a whole lot. They're exhausted. I am pretty confident they don't want to think about doing all that again right away. So if you're talking about interviews, immediately after, they're probably they don't want to talk about fighting or think about a next opponent. They just want to talk, like, you know, get back to their family. Like Brandon Allen, when he went in Jacksonville, just got in his car and drove home all the way back to Louisiana. He's like, I just want to see my kid. I don't want to talk about fighting.
Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate calling out an opponent, but do I necessarily need it? No, not really. And if you call someone way ahead of you, what's the issue in that? Like, what's that quote that says, like, shoot for the moon, and even if you don't, you'll land among the stars? Go for it. Call somebody out. Even if you're ranked number 59, I'd hope you call for someone in, like, the top 15, because that means you want to be there. And you may not get it, but at least you have initiative, because you're like, yeah, I want to be up there with those guys. I'm fine with that.
100%.
You know, but you know what? When people call out, this is all dependent on whoever is making the call out. Everything's dependent on your opinion of them. Before Kamaru Usman was champ, he was always calling out people, and he never got that fight. And all the fans were like, look at this guy just whining for big fights. Oh, he doesn't deserve a big fight. So, like, it all depends on who you are. And the idea that you have to call someone out, like, like it matters, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what the matchmakers feel matters. I got not embarrassed, but when Whitaker beat Jacare, I asked Whitaker in the post presser. Basically, I think Luke Rockhold was, you know, talking crap on Twitter at that time to Whitaker. I asked him about, would you want to face Rockhold next? Because he didn't call anyone out. And Whitaker kind of looked at me because, like, bro, I just got in a fight with Jacare in the main event or whatever. It's like, I don't want to think about this. I just want to go home, rest a couple weeks, hang out with my family and everything. And then I'll start thinking about fights. I don't want to think about that right now. I was like, fair enough. That's Robert Whitaker. You know, so, like, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's just, if the fight makes sense, it'll happen. Yes. Just don't say whatever the matchmakers want. Can we just agree on that?
Oh, yeah. No, that's
the one thing you never say. Just,
yeah.
Okay.
There are some that say that, like when Henry Corrales said it. He's whatever the matchmakers want, they don't even have to call me. Just say I'm in. Like, I was like, yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah,
like that. Don't even call me. Don't even tell me who it is. Just be like, Henry will fight you because I'm there.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's Henry Corrales.
Yeah, that's his personality. Do you know, he's just like, I don't know. I'll punch anyone. Pay me.
Yeah, I'll punch anyone for money. Should Jeff Neal versus Neil Magny get co-main event over Cowboy Morono? They're all three-round fights. I think Cowboy is way more popular than any of those individuals, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, but... I don't know. It doesn't bother me. Yeah. Cowboy is the one that's going to drive. Is the one that everyone's going to know.
Yes, it should.
Yeah, I agree. It should.
No, yeah, that's a higher level fight. Better.
That's fine. Yeah. It doesn't bother me one way or another. They're both going to happen. They're both going to be 3-round fights. It's not going to affect anyone. Like right now, Jeff Neal fights third from the top, and Donald Cerrone fights second from the top. Like if they just want to switch it. Great. If they don't, great.
Yeah, but I think like Neal and Matt has more of a. Like a title contention type of thing, like an eliminator. So I feel like that would have been better as the co-main. But nothing against Cowboy or Moreno. That's great. That's a great fight. But I think Neil and Magny should have got precedence over that one.
Two guys not ranked in the top 10. Yeah, over, yeah. No, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Respect the ranking. Respect the hard work that Neil and the double Neils got there. Yeah, respect that.
Cool. Yeah, doesn't bother me one way or another. These fights are going to happen. What's next for Ryan Hall? Dude is 37 years old, and I don't think he can be champ. Well, he could be champ, but I want to see him fight first because I've been saying this forever. Ryan Hall's UFC career, call out everyone in the top 15, doesn't get it, gets booked against someone, wins, calls out everyone in the top 15, gets someone in the top, like, ranked 11, pulls out, rinse and repeat. So I just want to see him fight. Don't care who he fights right now because he's a very exciting individual. And as this individual has pointed out, he's 37, not getting younger. Just want to see him in there. And then we can talk about champ fights. Casey, I know you want to talk a lot.
What the idea is, I don't think he'd be champ. dude, 95% of the fighters on the roster aren't going to be champs. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Ryan Hall rules. Sucks that he gets injured. Sucks that he doesn't get the fight he wants. Hopefully he gets better, and he's exciting. I want to see him fight. That's all.
Yeah. I just want to see him in there. I don't care who it is.
I hope he gets healthy.
I think he's actually scheduled to fight in July. I believe it's against
allegedly
the fight. Ilya Topuria, I believe. Yeah. So hopefully he'll get to that fight. But no Ryan Hall slander here. We don't like that. Casey doesn't like that.
No one likes that.
I'm pretty indifferent. Thoughts on Shabazzian versus
You're indifferent to slander? Why are we slandering these gentlemen fighting?
Well, I don't think he can be champions. I don't think that's slander. That's just like, okay. Cool story, bro.
Yeah, cool story.
Like, I like blue otter pops. I like purple otter pops. Cool story, bro. Like, that's just your opinion, man.
Wait. You don't like blue ones?
Everyone no, I love blue ones.
Okay.
I like all the otter pops. But I'm saying, like, if someone. I like purple.
No, purple is terrible.
All right. See, that's a cool story, bro. Same thing. No,
that's the correct story, Kristen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it's blue or red, but okay.
What shirt are you wearing, Casey? Casey, what hoodie is that?
I don't know. Since I've been slimming down, I can. This is actually Esther's clothes. I can fit into some of her clothes now.
This is Catholic High Wrestling.
Yeah. That's all. Just two young men, you know. Getting sweaty together, you know, Catholic High.
Where is Catholic High?
In your heart.
Definitely not.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase every day. Then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Thoughts on Shabazzian versus Jack Hermanson. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's my Casey.
Awesome. But with Shabazzian's age, do you think he needs to be slow rolled a little more after taking that big loss to Brunson? The big whooping from Brunson he got.
I think he's alluded to that. He said he kind of changed up the way that he was training for this fight. And I believe even after the Brunson fight, like, his team was somewhat appreciative for Derek Brunson of, like, teaching him a lesson, I guess. And I guess it's good to have it early on in his career so he can learn from it. But I would assume if he would like to get to the top again, he would slow down just a little bit. And especially against someone like Jack Hermanson, it would probably be his best bet. But I love this fight. I'm looking for a showcase fight at middleweight because it's so fun right now. So hopefully this can be one of those.
I love it. I don't think he needs to be slow rolled, because if you're ready, you're ready. And he just lost to a really high level middleweight that Derek Brunson, we can kind of all agree is one of the more underappreciated middleweights in MMA history, has a lot of high level wins and has only lost to the best of the best. So a loss to Jack Hermanson won't be the end of the world for Edmund Shabazzian. Will it be terrible for his career? In the moment, yes, but he's very young still and has a very bright prospect.
But I mean, can we agree that in that Derek Brunson fight, I saw a lot of the reaction and they expected him to absolutely steamroll Derek Brunson.
Yeah, he said, it was weird.
It was very weird and all that stuff. And then he got, I think he wasn't even the main event at that point. I think the original one fell off of that card and then he got picked up. So I think a lot of high expectations were made for him because he was like the next big thing. And then that didn't happen.
Shabazzian was like a 3-1 favorite going to that fight.
Yeah. Very weird.
It's like, that's more about Derek Brunson. That's more about the whole world underestimating Derek Brunson than overvaluing Shabazzian, I feel like.
Was Kevin Holland a favorite against Brunson too?
Yeah, a heavy favorite.
Yeah, that's so weird.
That's what I mean. Yeah, even after he beat Shabazzian, he was still a giant underdog against Kevin Holland.
That's so bizarre to me. Like his last four losses are to Adesanya, Jacare, Anderson Silva. I'm using in quotes because I think he definitely won that fight. And then Robert Whittaker. And then he's beaten Machida, Uriah Hall, like Lorenz Larkin, Ian Heinisch, like good wins, real good wins. Just underappreciated individual. And he kind of put the blueprint out for Kevin Holland, as Marvin Vettori showed.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
A loss would be rough for Jack, though. That's back-to-back losses against like the new guard at middleweight.
A loss would be rough for both of them.
Sure, but I think
with his age,
yeah,
maybe.
And he's had a lot of losses, and he's kind of gotten to, like, remember when he beat Jacare in his next fight against Cannonier? Like, if he had won, he probably would have got the title shot, and he got knocked out. And then he beats Kelvin really quickly, and then he loses to Marvin. So like, he's right there, and he just can't break that top three.
He loses the fight to get to that number one contenders fight.
Yes.
He's never one fight away, but yeah, he's always right there. But that's what we like to call gatekeepers.
Yes.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Whoa. There we go. Stay still, Kristen.
President for a day, Prohaska for a title. Question for Christian. Kristen, if you were UFC president for a week, can make one major change, what would it be?
What would I do with such power? You know what? I would bring back the sponsorship shorts and like the banners that the fighters used to walk out with. I'm a proponent of those individuals who participate in this sport to get paid as much as they can while they're in it. And I think those are like the best option to do it. Obviously, things have changed and you kind of go the route of social media and you could post ads over there for different supplements and whatnot that you may have used. And that'll probably get a fighter money. But honestly, I got into the sport when the fighters were rocking like the Condom Depot banners on their shorts and stuff like that. And I liked it. It told me a lot about a fighter outside of their interviews and stuff like that. And it made them money. I would bring that back. I mean, I like the minimalistic approach to the fight kits. I think they look sleek. I think they look nice. And I'm all for simplicity. But there's just something about making money and being able to showcase your personality that just tops all of that for me. So I want my fighters to make even more money than what they're making now. Bring back all the sponsorships.
Boom. There you go. Key of D minor. Anyway, what were you saying, Casey?
Kristen, real quick. I hear that a lot because, oh, I like the simplicity. I like the simple design. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't work for everybody. That works for just,
I think that it just makes it look a little bit more cleaner. And I think the purpose of getting away from those sponsorship shorts and those banners is because they would like to be taken more seriously. And by seriously, MMA would like to be taken more seriously as a sport instead of being just the proverbial redheaded stepchild that it's constantly been called. I like it. I know some people don't. I think they think that it's bland, but I mean,
where does that criticism come from? The whole like, oh, I would like cage fighting, but I see too many advertisements on his shorts. So this sport isn't for me.
It's super weird.
I just don't understand. I like watching cars drive around in a circle for hours and hours, but there's too many advertisements on that car. So I'm not going to watch NASCAR. I don't understand that logic.
Yeah, it's super bizarre. I don't know why people have that same idea. To me, it doesn't really matter anyway, but I'm more so worried about getting the chain.
Yeah.
You know?
If they want to come out in a Smurf outfit, but they go, hey, man, they paid me $100,000 to wear this. Cool. I can, as long as my legs can still move, I can fight in it. Cool.
As long as you don't come out in, who was that? What was that fighter that basically wore a thong to the fight? Was that Dennis Hallman?
Dennis Hallman. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. But if you were sponsored to do it, consider it.
We're still talking about him.
Yeah. I know.
I remember that.
You remember? But there's Speedos and there's like kind of wrestling type Speedos, which are a little more fit and don't, because his Speedos had like a little bit of a gap. So in certain spots, you go, whoa, I'm seeing too much Dennis Hallman, even more than
we didn't have to see him for that much longer because I just call him Chest Arrow Hair Man.
Ryan Ebersole.
There you go. He finished that pretty quickly. So we didn't have to look at it too long.
It's called the Marrow.
The Marrow. That's what that is called.
Yeah. He got a lot of money for beating Dennis Hallman quickly that night. anyway, second question from Key of D Minor. Question for the group. If Chandler can get a title shot after one impressive win, then surely Prohaska can get a title shot after two impressive UFC wins. Yes, logic would dictate that Jiří Prohaska, who just decapitated a human being on national television last week, should get a title shot next against the winner of Jan Blachowicz and Glover Teixeira. I'm very much in favor of him fighting Alexander Rachik. As people pointed out, I was saying his name incorrectly last time. Alexander Rachik is the co-main event slot, just to be on standby, because Jan and Glover are fighting in September. And that's a long way away. If they were fighting quickly, like in June, then yeah, Jiří should get it. But it's up to Jiří, I guess, if he wants to wait or not, because Rachik also has a claim to being number one contender, I think. Jiří just wins way more impressively. And as this individual said, Michael Chandler gets one big win. Jiří gets two. However, I think Michael Chandler came in with a lot more fanfare. And he weighed in as a backup for a Khabib fight. But Kristen, what say you about this Jiří-Michael Chandler comparison?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Jiří should get a title shot based off that performance. I think that Alexander, I'm not even going to say the last name because I don't want to be yelled at. I think his last fight against Thiago Santos was supposed to be that type of showcase fight. So he could prove that he was going to be next in line after Glover. And it just wasn't the most exciting win. I think a lot of people expected, you know, fireworks in that fight. And it was quite boring, to be honest. And I mean, do what you got to do to win. That's fine. But when you have someone as dynamic as Jiří and such an interesting character, and as you so eloquently put it, decapitated a man last Saturday night, you start to look at, well, what is going to be a more fascinating fight? In my mind right now, it's definitely going to be Jiří versus Jan, and Jan seems to be receptive to that idea as well. He also said that he was going to still take on Glover, but I do have concerns that it's going to be so much later on in the year. I don't know if something could happen to either of those people. Hopefully it doesn't. But if it does, I would probably pick Jiří to step in over Alexander right now, just because I think that'd be an incredible fight.
Well, Casey, because I know you love the UFC rankings so much, Jiří jumped up three spots after his win over Reyes and knocked off Rachik from the two spot. So he is sitting at two and Rachik is sitting at three. So rankings would dictate Yuri's up next, but I still think they should fight as the co-main, just because they all be on the same timeline. You serve the backup. We can avoid the Corey Anderson Jan situation when they fought. And well, I guess we didn't avoid anything, but we know what we're saying. We wanted Corey Anderson Jan to be on the same card as John Jones and Reyes, not 1 week apart. But that's neither here nor there. I'm fine if Jiří gets the next shot, but personally, I want to see him fight Rachik.
No, I think Jiří should have the next shot. I don't like the two number one.
Did you say no?
No. Yeah. Nah.
No as in yes.
Yeah. No. I was like, no, I think Jiří should get the next shot. Jiří shouldn't have to fight Prohaska. Jiří shouldn't have to fight Rachik.
Rachik.
Rachik? What? Okay, let's go over
Rachik.
This. Rachik. Rachik?
Probably. Someone's going to yell at somebody.
Rachik.
Yeah, yell at those two.
Yeah, Jiří should get the next shot, and then Rachik, one more fight. But back to the question about the whole I've hated this whole narrative too. Like, you have to fight this many times in the UFC before you get a title shot. No, you don't, because they fought before. Jiří has like 30 something fights already. He's not a contender series prospect coming in. This guy's coming in like ready to go for the title shot. So that's ridiculous. Same with Chandler. Now, should Chandler get a title shot? I don't think so, but Dustin passed up the title shot for the Conor McGregor belt, so that's on him. So yes, Chandler was next in line for the title shot.
If Dustin passes it, it should have been Gaethje Oliveira, I think.
Well, Gaethje, do we know what happened? What's the story of that?
Gaethje said he was getting ready because he was under the impression he was fighting Chandler, and then he found out that it was Oliveira Chandler the same way everyone else did.
So Oliveira took less money. Probably.
Yes.
Which is 100%. when that fight came out, I was like, oh, this is just simply the cheapest title fight that the UFC could put out there. Not saying it's a bad title fight, because obviously both men are incredible fighters, Oliveira and Chandler, but payroll-wise, this is definitely less than Gaethje. So that's what we got. But how many impressive wins do you have to get in a – for like people, he only has two impressive wins to get a title shot. How many impressive wins? What's the scale? I don't get it.
I think it depends on division, honestly, because I feel like if you win two wins in light heavyweight, you're already like skyrocketing to a title shot.
But two wins over top 10 opponents too, and Domin Reyes, who's top five, not just two. It's like you do that in any division. Like,
right, and they were former title challengers. Volkan was, and Dominic. So you just
Dom was the champ. He was a champ.
Okay, well, yeah, you made a point, but yeah, it's good.
Okay. You made a point.
Yay! All right, show's over. Let's go home.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not. If Jiří gets the next title shot, awesome, because I want to see him fight for the title. But if he wants to fight and he doesn't want to wait, then why? I'm not going to stop him. I'm not. Also, Prohaska-Rachik is an awesome fight.
No. If they're timeline. If they don't want, if Jiří doesn't want to wait, yeah, I get that fight. You know, and now
100%.
Do the matchmakers want to eliminate a number one contender because one of those guys are going to lose? You know, and then how many wins does he need to get back for a title? I don't know. Have the UFC maybe one win, maybe two wins? So. That's up to the UFC matchmakers how they want to handle that, but it's obviously a great fight. The timeline does suck because I want to see Jiří fight every week.
Right, and like I said on the post show, if the world opens more by September, and they can hold events in that part of the world, because Jan, Rachik, and Jiří are all part of like the European MMA scene, and they want to throw a fight night like. In Croatia or like Hamburg or whatever, toss those guys on it. That'd be a great five round fight night.
I would love for the UFC to eventually do a pay per view in Poland, right in KSW territory.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be sweet.
But you know what, Joanna, Gamrot, all those guys on it,
man. But the Polish fans are gonna be let down though by the because they're used to KSW shows. So like, I mean, they're not gonna be let down by the fights themselves, but. Presentation is a different story.
Very much awesome. So. Very, very much so. Questionable Bellator cut. Any insight from Scott McCright? Any insight on why did Bellator cut an undefeated woman's flyweight, Mandy Baum? She was ranked eighth in the recent women's flyweight rankings. I have no insight, but I saw this and was a little surprised, but I have no idea what their logic or reasoning for it was. Casey, did you see this?
I saw that, and it was surprising, but basically something happened behind the scenes. That's all, because it doesn't really make sense. So something happened behind the scenes. Who knows what happened? Could have been money. It could be a money issue. It could be her management issue. Maybe it was just like. Scott Coker's like, I just hate that dude. You know, I don't know. There's just
woman.
No, not her. I'm not her, but her manager. Or her manager. Oh, I'm assuming her manager is a jerk dude. That's what I assume. there's a million reasons. We'll have Mike Heck in beautiful Uncasville this week covering Bellator, and we'll make sure Mike Heck asks Mr. Coker about that.
There you go.
How about that?
Or she just signed a one fight contract. Like Phil Hawes fought once in the Bellator and then went on to Brave. So I don't, maybe it was just a one fight deal.
Well, they said release. They said release. So it implied that, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, but and I think she has a fight already. She has another fight coming up. Like at the end.
Yeah,
of the
she
month.
Does.
Yeah. 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 It's contract stuff. It's nothing about her actually being a quality fighter she is. So this is two questions.
From Terrence Leverett. Question one, TJ Brown grabbed the fence 5 times and once it deducted a point. Luana Pinheiro got hit with what seemed to be a not-ending fight blow. Does that prove that winning at all costs is more important? And should Marcos have said she couldn't see? I think it is going to take a lot of fighter not accepting fouls and quitting for them to change the rules. We're going to answer the first one first. Kristen, what were your thoughts on the TJ Brown and Randa Marcos situations that we just saw at UFC Vegas 25?
Yeah, I think the TJ Brown thing is obviously terrible. I think Kai Kamaka's manager, he said he was going to appeal that decision. I mean, if it was such a blatant, like, there's no way that person should have won the fight, then best of luck to you. But usually in these situations, nothing really changes. I feel like you could appeal as much as you'd like to, but sometimes the decision is always going to stand and they're probably just going to have to take that loss, even though you know they won, as was brought up by Casey. You know, Dominic Reyes won his fight against John Jones, but it goes down as a loss on his record. So the Luana and Randa fight was very odd, and I legitimately thought that it might have been over after the eye poke, just because when the doctor was asking Randa if she could see, I thought I heard her say, like, it's a little blurry or something, I just need more time. Do eye pokes have like 5 minute, like the same as like a foul when you get hit below the belt? Do they not have 5 minutes?
Yeah, they're supposed to have 5 minutes, but that's the doctor's discretion. The reason groin shots have 5 minutes is because of obvious reasons, the doctor can't come out there and just look at your junk in front of the crowd, but they can look at your eye. Yeah. So the idea is like the 5 minutes for groin shots because, well, this is kind of an arbitrary amount because we can't give you a full examination right now. The eye poke, though, is after, yeah, you have time, kind of, but really after the doctor says, can you fight or not, there's mm-hmm. then that's really it. There's no real... well, my eye's going to get better. So if the doctor decides, well, let me kind of hem and haw with the ref for a little bit to give you some time. But that you'll see that all the time. Yeah. You'll see refs kind of talk to the doctor kind of slowly. What they're really doing is trying to give the ref is actually trying to give the fighter more time, you know, because the ref wants the fight to happen. You know, the ref respects the fighter. He wants it to happen. So that's really it. It's kind of an unwritten rule.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants a fight to end in a disqualification. Like, that is not the way any fighter would want their fight to end. But it just so happened that this happened because Randa delivered an up kick to a grounded opponent. Those are the current rules, whether you like them or not. I know a lot of people, look at Casey, he does not like that rule. You should be able to strike a grounded opponent. Maybe if you are also grounded, that just makes sense. But those are not the rules right now. And it's unfortunate that we have to continue to do this defense of a fighter's reaction or way that they accept a fight. Because now that the whole Aljamain Sterling debacle happened, now it just seems like anybody who gets fouled is a faker and they're not a real fighter and they should be admonished. No, legitimately, I thought Luana was out of it. And as soon as they panned over to her, her eyes were kind of like glossed over and she's like, what happened? Did I win? I was like, okay, at that point, you can't really fake that, can you? You can't fake that stuff unless you are just, I need this win. I need my win bonus. I'm going to play it up. But I don't think she would do that. And I don't think Randa would have accepted a win that way either. You saw how fast she came out when the time was over. She really wanted that win. She was on like a 3-fight losing streak. Now it's 4 because of the disqualification. So I don't think she would have taken that.
Randa had to get stitches in her eye. That's how bad her eye poke was.
And those were multiple fouls, multiple. Yeah. It wasn't just like one thing. She got poked in the eye maybe 2 to 3 times mm-hmm. prior to the upkick. Yep. So
fight shouldn't have been no contest. That's all.
Neither fighter is obligated to continue, as Michael Bisping said. Rules are rules, and you might not agree with them. Those are both illegal fouls. Randa obviously continued, and Luana didn't.
but they're neither are obligated. Michael Bisping laid it out pretty well in his podcast and said she got hit with an illegal, like, it's like what we talk about, like, how many times have we seen a fighter get like a foul or warned or something for a low blow? Like, very rarely. So why not just run out and blast him in the junk if you know you're not going to get in trouble? No one's obligated to continue. Anyway, number two, I remember hearing the people on Fight Island, the Dustin v. Conor fight, weighed in on Friday and fought on Sunday morning. They had 2 nights of sleep after, meaning they had more time to recover. Dustin cuts more weight with the next fight being in Vegas, less recovery time. Do you think this could affect the fight? Not a question, but if they do the UFC 263 and UFC 4 press conference together, that would be fire. They will not do them together. Conor and Dustin are going to get their own press conference for sure. I could see 260 also, because 263 is like a month away, so that I don't think they're going to do them together. The Dustin Conor weigh-ins were, they weighed in for us on Fight Island, it was pretty early in the morning. Like, we, the fights ended Sunday morning or whatever, or started Sunday, whatever. I don't think there was a lot of difference in recovery time. It was just the fight was slated for prime time. It was prime time your guys' time, right? Like in America?
Habib?
No, Habib. The Conor card.
Conor was prime time. Habib was morning.
Yeah, because I remember that. Because the 4 weeks of before the Habib card, we were getting to the arena at like midnight and then leaving at like 5 in the morning. And that one was like normal time for us. And the Conor one threw everyone off. We got to the arena and it was nighttime. And we left and it was sunny. It was very bizarre. There wasn't that much difference in recovery. And Dustin is a pro. He's been doing this for a long time. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. Cool. Let's go to our comments.
Can you please explain the PFL rule set? It's really frustrating to watch a fight and have no idea what acronyms they're referring to or what the point structure is. What do you know what this individual is talking about, Casey?
I think the 6 points for the first round finished, 4 points. The point structure.
I got you.
Repeat that a lot during the show. I think maybe Mr. JK is looking at his phone too much during the fight, but I think they explained that. They explained that pretty well, actually. Their point system for the tournament. For their tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd, but I think it's 3 points if you finish in the first round, and then 3 points for winning overall. And then as you go longer, the points deduct. So 2 points in the second round if you win, and then another 3 points if you just win entirely. And I think the less amount of points you can get is four. No, one, actually. I think that just depends on what happens in the fight. But yeah, they explained it on the broadcast.
Yeah, I feel they laid it out because the opening fights are kind of a round robin, and then based on how many points you have, then you go into a tournament, and then
yes, it's basically an MMA World Cup where you have the tournament, and then like the top like six move on or whatever to the group of 16, if you will. But here it is: win in any round, automatically 3 points. So if you win, you get three. One, first round finish is six, you get three extra points. Round two extra points. Round three, one extra point, which I think is, because like we've seen some like absolute bangers, and like it's a back and forth war, and then you win in the third round and you get 1 point. Like, I feel like that's a little odd, but it is what it is. So you win in the first. If Kristen this heel hooks Casey and takes the coward's way out in the first round, that's 6 points. As Sean Strickland referred to Brett, that was it a heel hook, right?
Some kind of ankle lock. Yeah, I was like, all right, bro. Weird.
But if Casey comes in and fights like a man and just front kicks Kristen into oblivion, that's 6 points too. Yeah.
Don't do that. I've had extensive jaw surgery, please.
Yeah, Casey. How rude.
Okay. I won't kick you in the face, Kristen.
Please, heel hook me. Heel hook me.
Yeah. Slice up my ACL. Don't kick my face. All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Don Lilly. What do you think of all the bantamweights competing on Bellator on Friday night? Yes, we haven't talked about Bellator. Bellator has a very high level fight. We lost, unfortunately. We're gonna have to talk about it. We lost Romero from the fight, so Anthony Johnson will still be fighting Jose Augusto, Pitbull protege. So still a good fight, but he's not Yoel Romero. And of course, the rest of the main card, we got Patricky Pitbull, not Patricio Pitbull, Patricky Pitbull versus Peter Queeley, SBG Ireland product. And then, of course, Michael Venom Page finally fights Derek Anderson after a long time. And then we got Josh Hill, yeah. Ruffin Stotts. We got Patchy Mix, Albert Morales. Of course, we unfortunately lost James Gallagher from that card, so that's a bummer. Henry Corrales, who we just talked about, fighting John DeCalis. El Goyito Perez is fighting to kick off the card, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, a lot of high-level bantamweights. Casey, you've been kind of fist-pumping and doing a jig while I've been reading off the fight card. What is your what's your overall impressions of this card, even with Romero being off?
Even Romero off this card, even if Gallagher off this card, total bummer, but this card still freaking rules and it's clearly the best card of the weekend. And, I just hope people watch it and hope people, support, MMA. And, I still hate Bellator's stupid round cage, but as far as the fighters in there, it's a great card and I'm super excited about it. I'm excited to see Patchy back in there. I'm excited to see how good. I'm excited for Archuleta Pettis. I mean, I want to see Henry. I love Henry Corrales. He's like, to me, he's Bellator's Matt Brown, just a dude that just like, I just want to punch you, you know. And Goyito, Eric Perez, he's always had a lot of talent. He seems to be kind of up and down, but I still believe in El Goyito. And Rufon Stotts and Josh Hill, which is Rufion?
I'm not sure. That's what I said.
Yeah, Stotts versus Hill. Rufion. Just I don't think a lot of fans know about either of those fighters, but just great bantamweight prospects. So that's awesome. But just bantamweight, best division in the world. So
first of all, Henry Corrales, this is his bantamweight debut. So let's see how he looks on that
scale. Yeah, I'm hoping.
Dude went in at featherweight, it didn't look like he had a lot to lose. But we'll see. Anyway, Kristen, what are your thoughts on this epic card?
I love it. I agree with Casey. This is probably the better card out of everything that we have going on. I think we have PFL, we have Bellator, UFC, but I'm definitely more focused on Bellator this weekend. And the bantamweight division is just so exciting. You know what? They should freaking do a Grand Prix for bantamweight. I don't think they've done it already. I think they've done featherweight and now they're doing light heavyweight. Hopefully the next Grand Prix is going to be bantamweight, because they could have easily stacked like one of these cards with a lot of these fights, and that could have been for, you know, like an 8-man or a 16-man Grand Prix. I would love to have seen that. So hopefully Bellator, if you're listening, here you go, here's some free advice. Bantamweight Grand Prix next, please.
Wouldn't hate it. I think the pausing of the featherweight Grand Prix just kind of put a wrench into everyone's plans. But they got the light heavyweight Grand Prix going. They had the welterweight Grand Prix. They had the heavyweight Grand Prix. They haven't had middleweight. So they're either going to do middleweight or bantamweight or lightweight next. But I doubt Patricio Pitbull wants to be thrown into another Grand Prix because he's also the lightweight champion. So maybe he just defends. Or he gives it up and Patricky Pitbull fights. But if he loses to AJ McKee, why wouldn't they just run it back at lightweight and then AJ McKee could have two belts all of a sudden. That's another story. I'm surprised Logan Storley's on the prelims.
Way early.
Of this card. Yeah. Way early. Dude was undefeated until he ran into Yaroslav, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's fighting for the championship next, if I remember correctly, right?
Yep.
And he's undefeated. He's like 25-0 or something crazy like that. So, man, how the mighty have fallen. But it is what it is. I'm very excited to see MVP throw down. I wish he was fighting for the championship or Lorenz Larkin, but it is what it is. I'm always excited to watch him fight. And I feel like this is, how many times has he been matched up with Derek Anderson? A lot.
Yeah, I think it's like third or fourth time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Derek Anderson is very well-rounded. I think he has, 16, 15 wins, and it's like pretty even on, like, he has like 5 KOs, 5, 6 submissions and like 5 decisions or something like that. He's pretty well-rounded. Doesn't get knocked out ever. So,
yeah. I mean, people don't know. I would say Derek Anderson is like he's a mid-card UFC welterweight. I mean, that level. I wouldn't say he's top 15 overall, but he's UFC caliber, clear. You know, like one of the, I don't know where I would rank him, but this is a real fight for Michael Page. This isn't a can. So just because you may not have heard of him, he is a quality mixed martial arts fighter.
I'm trying to find where the Like, I can't ever find the Bellator rankings. Oh, here we go. So Derek Anderson is the sixth ranked Bellator welterweight in the world.
Yeah. And the
MVP MVP is two.
Yeah. These are the Bellator only rankings. Yeah.
Yes.
Promotional rankings.
And then we got Jason Jackson, Neiman Gracie, Logan Storley, Derek Anderson, Joey Davis, Paul Daly, Saba Hamasi, and Oliver Enkamp.
Dude, I like Jason Jackson. I want to see him fight.
So do I.
He is very good. He is very good.
He's a fun cat.
Yeah. He's got the best nickname in the sport.
Mm-hmm. What is it? The
ass kicking machine.
Yeah, the ass kicking machine. That's hilarious. I mean, it's straight to the point.
I want to wait for one of those reporters. So, Jason, how did you get your nickname? Tell me the story.
Just kicked ass.
Kicked ass, bro. I'm a machine, you know.
Man, could they do a middleweight grand? I don't think they could even do a middleweight grand prix. Charlie Ward is the seventh ranked middleweight in Bellator.
Yeah, middleweight. Yeah, I think Bellator has been trying to concentrate in so many other divisions. Yeah, the middleweight one is pretty shallow. Yeah, just how it is.
Like Austin Vanderford is third.
Yeah,
that is wild to me.
Oops.
Good fighters, but I never would have thought they would be like top 10.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Yep. Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Diego Sanchez in the UFC Hall of Fame. While Diego has a fight that is already in the UFC Hall of Fame, he's locked to get in just based off his individual career, right? From Scott McCright. You would imagine, but based on what Diego Sanchez has been saying in the media yesterday, I'm not even going to say this week, like less than 12 hours ago, his chances of getting an individual nom have probably slimmed dramatically. I won't say he'll never get in because, of course, Tito Ortiz is in and Dana White and Tito basically were supposed to get in a fist fight. That's how badly that relationship was.
For money, not just for fun.
For money. Wasn't it supposed to be an exhibition match and then the commission heard about it and they stepped in?
I forgot the details of that one.
They made a countdown for it.
I know. Oh, dude, if that countdown show is still out there, it is hilarious how bad and dated it is. Like everything, it's so good. The filmmaking, the camera shots, it's just like, but that was the height of MMA. Like, I don't think MMA was ever like hotter than it was at that point in time.
I think it was hot the Ronda Connor era when they were both fighting that same year. That was probably peak of like popularity.
I think individual wise, like Ronda and Connor were bigger as individual like celebrities, but like just the idea of ultimate fighting and we're in a cage, you know. I'm more like that kind of era. That was kind of like the era when like UFC went from, you know, being, you know, that VHS blockbuster tape, you know, next to the Faces of Death videos to like something you actually buy, you know, for real. So that's on me. But oh man, I remember I saw that show. It was so good. So good.
Christian, what do you make of Diego Sanchez's recent interview yesterday? I'm sure you saw it.
Oh, I'm gonna watch that.
He said he was on Sirius XM
with Anthony Smith.
With Anthony Smith.
RJ Clifford, yeah.
Yes. And he said he's afraid the UFC might kill him. They might come after him for what he said. So what did you make of that?
Yeah, I actually got through like half of it because it's about a 45-minute interview like before we went on air. And I'll start by saying this. I really do commend the sincerity in which RJ Clifford and Anthony Smith are trying to understand the situation with Diego because they are really trying to hone in the point that, you know, there are people that care about you. And perhaps the person you surround yourself with is not the best type of person. And I know a lot of people have also, like a lot of prominent figures in MMA have stepped in and said something to Diego. But the interview itself was very, I'll say this, if y'all haven't watched it, please watch it so you can kind of understand his point of view, because I know it's very hard to see Diego probably in this state of mind, and you just want the best for a fighter, especially someone who is as long tenured as he was. I mean, he was the first Ultimate Fighter winner, and you know, he's been with the company for 16 years, and to see it all end so unceremoniously, it's like, I want answers, and I think you'll get a little bit of it in there, but it was very, it's unfortunate to hear those comments, because you never want to see a fighter go out like this. And I just truly hope that, you know, Diego gets the help he may need, if he needs it, if he sees fit. But yeah, y'all should watch that interview with SiriusXM, because they really are trying to get to the root of the problem and explain to Diego that this is more so out of care for you as a person rather than just trying to rag on you and your coach.
Casey, what did you make of this interview, if you read about it?
I only had time to watch the first couple of minutes of it. It's something I want to watch later. I like RJ. I think Anthony Smith is great too. I just love hearing Anthony's thoughts and things. So I have no real opinion on that. But overall, is he locked to get in the UFC Hall of Fame based on his individual career? I would say no. I mean, only had one. No, he was never a title holder. Fought for the title once. Great fight, but got his butt kicked by BJ. I mean, I guess just a popularity, I guess he can get in. But it's a very complicated issue, the Diego situation, because like there's layers, you know, there's layers on it, you know, and the biggest just maybe Jose, because you've probably, I think, kept up with this a bit better than I have. Mm-hmm. Why did the UFC release Diego in one sentence?
Diego in one sentence, Christ.
Or two, you know what I mean? Like now,
Diego's team was asking for his medical history directly to Hunter Campbell.
Yeah.
Like Joshua Fabio was asking for medical history. Hunter Campbell said, we can't give you those. The commission can give you those, but like, we don't deal that. Like we don't do that. And then I think Joshua, and honestly, Steven Morocco would be the best to answer this, is I'm kind of paraphrasing right now. Joshua said he's like concerned about Diego's long-term health, this and that. And Hunter Campbell was like, can Diego fight Cowboy if you're having these concerns? Like, can he fight? Yes or no? Like, I just need a yes or no. And he was kind of dancing around it. And then Hunter emailed Diego and was like, Diego, can you fight? I want to hear it from you. And he wasn't getting an answer. So Hunter's like, well, then you can't fight. And then that was the wrap.
And this is all from whose point of view?
There are supposedly phone conversations that individuals have heard.
I heard the Fabio one that he released of him having a conversation with Hunter Campbell. While it sounded odd, it was to me it just sounded a bunch of lawyer talk from Hunter. He's like, well, he's there to protect the UFC, so he didn't want to say anything about the UFC at all liable. So he was doing his job. And I know people want to hate on Josh Fabio for many reasons, but to me, the call itself wasn't that horrible. He's just trying to figure out, he just wants to collect all the medical information for his fighter, which seems fine.
Right, and I think that's fine, but Hunter, like, you had to go, I think you went to the wrong person, and I think, mm-hmm. and I'm not a defender of the UFC or any of their practices.
I'm not defending either side, I just don't know all the facts.
If your coach is saying, we have concerns about my fighter's health, you say, well, that's alarming. Can he fight on Saturday then? You got, like, that's just that's the obvious follow-up. Also, remember Chris Cyborg got released because she, like, secretly filmed Dana White having a conversation and her team put it out there. Josh Fabia has now released, and Diego have now released, like, two separate videos of secret recordings and a fighter meeting, and then recorded, like, one of the high-ups of the UFC over the phone. So,
yeah,
it probably wasn't going to last much longer.
Yeah, they say they have 2 years worth of recordings just for, like, an insurance policy. So who knows what's going to come out next?
Yes, a lot of people are, and I don't I have absolutely no idea how true this is, but I've seen it a few times that was fear that maybe Joshua was trying to put together a case to sue the UFC for like having Diego fight when he shouldn't have. But I don't know how true that is. So
there's a lot more to the story that we don't know.
Yeah. To answer this individual correctly, I do believe Diego Sanchez was a lock. If Stephen Bonner's getting in, then Diego Sanchez can get in.
Did Bonner get in on his own? Just,
you know, he is an individual inductee. Him and Forrest Griffin are individual inductees. So if Stephen Bonner can get in, then Diego Sanchez can get in, because Stephen Bonner did not win the Ultimate Fighter. He never fought for a championship. He's been in one of the greatest fights ever. Diego Sanchez has been in a lot of the greatest fights ever. He fought for a championship. He just ran into motivated BJ.
Yeah.
And won the Ultimate Fighter. Diego was a lock for sure, I think. He was back. But Dana also has a soft spot. Well, didn't he induct like the entire class of the Ultimate Fighter season one? Or he wanted to at some point? Like, he has a soft spot for that whole class.
Yeah.
So I think he was a lock for sure before this.
Okay.
And honestly, like, he has like the Gilbert Melendez fight you could just induct straight up. As like one of the greatest fights ever.
That fight should just go in as a fight, yeah, for sure.
His fight against Carl Parisian too. Remember that fight? That fight was unbelievable too. So like, he has a lot of fight of the years that he could get in for those fights. But that dude, he posted the full fight of his Gilbert Melendez on his Instagram a while ago, and I forgot how insane that was.
Third round, yeah. I think Gil still won that third round. That's
oh yeah.
But it was the fight was crazy looking, but not as close as you remember. But it was crazy for sure.
Yeah. There are moments in that fight.
There are moments for sure,
And it's
and it was such a big upset, man, because Gilbert was like number two or one at the time, and Diego was
that is Gilbert Melendez's, and I'm using air quotes, that is his only win in the UFC.
Okay.
Because he definitely beat Benson Henderson.
Yeah.
But after that, he lost to Anthony Pettis. He lost to Jeremy Stevens. I believe he lost to Edson Barbosa, Arnold Allen, Eddie Alvarez. And like, and that's like, this is like pre light heavyweight Daniel Cormier. And like, Daniel Cormier would always get sandwiched between these epic performances. So everyone thought he was a boring fighter. Because it was like Gilbert Melendez, Diego Sanchez. Well, that was his second fight. That was his first fight, because he was sandwiched between like all those knockouts, the Nate Diaz, Josh Thompson finish.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
And then he just kind of held Frank Mir against the fence for three rounds. And then you saw Gilbert Melendez, Benson Henderson. And then his follow-up, it was like Gilbert, Diego, and then Daniel Cormier, Roy Nelson, and then Kane just slamming JDS on his head and knocking him out. So, and also even before the Gil Diego fight, we had like Gonzaga, I think it was Sean Jordan, and I believe Dodson and Daryl Montague, who was at the time the Tachi Palace champ. So that was an insane card. And I will die on this hill, CB Dolloway definitely beat Tim Bosch on that prelims. Anyway, I digress. That was also the fight Jessica quote unquote beat Sarah Kaufman.
Jesus, why do I go to tapology.com and just ask Jose?
I don't know, man.
Because, the human encyclopedia here.
Yeah, that was the one that the Jessica Eyes went over Sarah Kaufman was overturned to a no contest. Remember all that tomfoolery? Yeah. And Hector Lombard knocked out Nate Marquardt and just literally sat him down.
Oh, it was a bullshit decision of Kaufman too, but that's another.
It was. It really was.
All right, okay, we've been talking about, we're going to fly through these now. We're going to fly through them. Like, here we go. We're flying. Boom. Oh, wait.
Strawweight is stacked. What does a win, real quick, like, just give your real quick one sentence answer for this. What does a win do for Marina or Michelle mean for them? Kristen.
It does a lot for Marina. I think she's like the new big thing at strawweight. So if she puts on a really good performance against Michelle, she'll probably be very close. And with Michelle, she's like a perennial contender anyway. So she's always going to be maybe one or two fights off from title contention. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Casey.
Puts them each one win closer to the belt.
Yes. Also, this is at flyweight. It's a short notice fight.
But it's a strawweight fight. It's too strong.
I'm just saying, if people that watch the weigh-ins are going to be like, weight. Yeah. Like, no, gotcha. It's a flyweight. Who would you want to see next with a win? Personally, I think Marina against Joanna with a win, and I'd like to see Michelle versus Mackenzie Dern if she can be successful. I'm fine with anyone in the top 10 of strawweight fighting anyone in the top 10 of strawweight, because that is the most stacked female division in MMA.
Yeah, boom. Makes sense.
You cannot F up the matchmaking.
What's next for Claudia Gadelha?
They won't. Don't worry.
What's next for Claudia Gadelha is the next one.
I give her someone outside top 15. There's a bunch of names. I can't think of one, but there's a lot of talent. I don't know. Just someone outside the top 15.
Yep.
What is happening with Tatiana Suarez?
Is she still injured?
Unfortunately. There are rumors that she re-injured herself. Or she might be out a little longer than because she was targeting summer. She also hinted at coming back at flyweight and fighting Valentina.
Well, you got to do something. Yeah. I mean, you can't
do something first.
Yeah.
No, I agree. So also, the winner of Murphy and JoJo gets the next title shot against Valentina. Even Valentina knows that, and we all agree. But if she wants to come back and maybe fight the winner of like Arujo and who's Arujo fighting? She's fighting this next
Chikagian.
Cool. Tatiana Suarez is the winner of that. If she wants to come in flyweight, great. Other than that, just give her the highest ranked person at strawweight that's not fighting for the title.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I like Suarez at flyweight too. But she said she can make whenever she fought like 6 years ago or so, she says she can make strawweight fine, but who knows?
Thank you, Matt Bradbury on the site. Bellator is from Andy Burton. A fight promotion.
Kristen?
Bellator is fun.
Bellator is the second biggest promotion in the U.S. And their cage is 2-round. Cool.
Translates to brave. Marcos, illegal upkick. You think Luana Pinheiro oversold her inability to continue due to illegal upkick from Randa Marcos? Marcos felt the whole idea was suspect and said that she wasn't leaving the octagon without a win. Because of Pinheiro's inability to fight, she felt the opportunity was stolen from her. The key word in there is illegal. She broke the rules. It is not up to Luana Pinheiro to continue. It is unfortunate if she was milking it and wasn't actually hurt, but it's just an unfortunate situation all around. I don't think the opportunity was stolen from her because I'm not in the mind of Luana Pinheiro. She might have had a concussion. I don't know. Casey?
I have so many questions about this. If that was legitimate, you know, Pinheiro was really hurt, then Marcos must have the most violent, strongest upkicks I've ever seen in the sport because she was down for 5 minutes and the paramedics didn't even bring a stretcher and their coach literally carried her out of the cage like a baby. So Marcos must have the strongest upkicks I've ever seen. I mean, Dom Reyes got decapitated and he walked out of the cage on his own. He didn't have to be carried out. So Pinheiro got even hit harder. So I hope Pinheiro is okay because she got just that upkick just. Yeah, it was so violent. That's all.
Kristen?
I don't think she oversold it at all. I think she was legitimately hurt. And I don't think it was stolen. It is illegal. Those are the rules. I know they suck, but you have to abide by them. And some people can eat upkicks, like Yuri. Apparently, Yuri said that he ate an upkick from Dominic Reyes and was knocked out slightly, but recovered very quickly. So it just depends. It's different for everybody. You know, Luana may have been significantly hurt, and Yuri is just like an alien, and he's not. So it's different.
Have you ever seen anyone more in pain than Pinheiro was from an upkick in all your years of watching MMA?
Yes.
Who?
Didn't Gegard Mousasi knock a person dead in Strikeforce or Dream?
It was Jacare.
Yeah, one of those. It was Jacare and Mousasi. It was one of them.
Remember that shot that you saw of Jacare's head turned sideways? Yeah.
Yes, I do.
I hope Pinheiro's all right.
Nico Price knocked someone out with an upkick, correct? Wasn't it? Right? No, that was the hammer fist from the bottom. It was James Vick.
Oh, James Vick. Yeah.
And he carried him out.
Things hurt, man. Sometimes it's.
Remember how those shots looked? Yeah, but yeah,
sometimes you get caught cold. I'm not going to try and say she was milking it.
Run it back.
Run it back. 100%.
That's the easiest answer. Run it back.
Prediction for Pettis Archuleta. What's your lean? Also, Bellator has the habit of rushing new signing into title fights, and then if they lose, they wind up in weird purgatory for like 2 years. Pettis wasn't rushed. I think Pettis deserved this title shot.
Not rushed at all.
Super bums that Gallagher mixes off. Tough run of luck for Bellator lately. Yeah, it's a bummer. Gallagher's legitimately hurt, though. But I was very excited for that fight. Patchy Mix is the real deal, and a lot of people think James Gallagher is super exciting. And the only person that's beat him in Bellator was just cut. Yeah. So
Ricky Banderas?
Yeah, but he was coming off three losses. Banderas did kind of look like he hit a wall. But
The individual, Zach Freeman, the one that submitted Pico in Pico's debut, was also just recently cut. But he hasn't fought for a long time.
He just got his butt kicked by Syed Awad.
And he also has a full-time job doing other things too. So MMA was kind of like a side gig. Also, the first thing Luana asked when her coaches came in was, did I lose? She was out of it. I understand that Mark was frustrated, but kind of classless to publicly make those accusations, in my opinion.
Hey, man, I just said she got hit the hardest kick I've ever seen. She had to be carried out. She had to be carried out by her coach.
Yeah. She got hit.
I mean,
if she lost.
Yeah, she's just frustrated. You know, you say things that are, you're not thinking about like PR perspective. Like, how should I approach this? No, she's pissed off. You know, she's now on a 4-fight losing streak. This could very well end Randa Marcos' career. I understand that.
Run it back.
Easy peasy. Anyway.
Okay. And we got a couple more from the comment section. Wait, where'd it go? I think actually. Oh, here we go.
Yay, Kristen Rules. Can you recommend a good horror movie you've watched recently from Jessica Crystal Crew in the YouTube comments?
Jessica, she rules. She's the best. I still have my crystals on my desk anyway, and I appreciate them every day. A good horror movie that I watched recently. What is the one that is called His House on Netflix? Is very interesting. It is like almost a social commentary on certain things, but it is scary. I like that one. I also just rewatched this movie called Clown. Super underrated. It's about this dude that puts on a haunted clown costume, which, by the way, if you've seen this,
that's redundant, by the way.
Yeah, no, but hold on.
Clown costume.
this one was like about, because apparently clowns were like demons before. So he put it on for his kid's birthday party. And it's a terrible costume. Like, no clown would look like this. But he ends up needing to feed on children so that he can sustain himself. And at first, when I first watched it, I was like, this is terrible. But it holds up. So watch that one. And last one for me, I also rewatched Terrifier. If you want to see some pretty messed up clownery, both of these are clowns, by the way. There's a pattern. If you want to see some messed up kills that include someone being sawed in half right where their nether regions are, movie is for you. Movie is for you. A lot of blood, a lot of gore, pretty messed up. But, and I will actually hit Jessica.
Are we talking MMA or clown horror movies? What are we talking about?
Clown horror movies.
Oh, clown horror movies. Sorry.
Up in the DM so that I have a list of this. I have a notes list of 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s horror movies that are good to watch. So Jessica, I got you. Don't worry.
All right.
I'll send it to both of you as well because I know you guys like horror movies.
I love horror movies.
Good.
There you go. Thank you for the question, Jessica Crystal Crew. Kristen, you just talked a lot about horror movies, but you know the drill. Anything else you want to plug? Anything else you want to say? MMA or non-MMA related? The floor is yours.
I will say thank you as always for having me back on here. I love doing this with you guys. And I would just like to make a mention that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So treat each other kindly. Be nice to each other. If you need help, please reach out for certain resources and stuff that are there for you. And just take care of yourselves. Take care of people around you. Be nice. It's Mental Health Awareness Month, so do your best.
Bam. Well said. 10 out of 10 promo. That's how you do it.
It's Mental Health Awareness Month every month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be nice every month.
Casey, except what you got to say over in Englewood?
Oh, Englewood's good. Just want to say happy anniversary to my wife, Esther, and happy birthday, AK. It's on the same day. It's wild.
Look at his commenter, man. He's back.
Look at this name.
I got to pull that out again. I got more tweets about that sweatshirt and DMs than I did about fights that week.
Please,
it's unbelievable.
Burn it.
No way. That sweater rules.
It rules. That sweater should be the new Venom fight kit. I don't need all this cool stuff with fangs. I need like Like, where the I want different options, man. That's,
yeah,
more less fangs, more sweater.
I'll wear that to the A side next time. But anyway, stick around on this site for the Bellator Virtual Media Day next week.
10 minutes.
Yeah, next week. I don't know if we're gonna do A side next week because I'll be in Houston, so we got to figure out the PR schedule for that. Happy anniversary to Casey and Esther. Congratulations, Guillermo Cruz. Feliz.
Whoa.
Feliz Cinco de Mayo, everyone. Oh. Flowers.
They're beautiful. From who?
Who's this from? Aw. A friend got since this. It's really bright, but yeah. Aw.
Hey, aw.
Esther, you're in camera.
You could white balance on those. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Esther.
She's out of way, yeah.
Casey, you can white balance using those things. My goodness. Anyway, congratulations to Guillermo Cruz on becoming a dad.
Yay!
And Feliz Cinco de Mayo, everyone. Enjoy your tacos and burritos, not chimichangas. And we'll see you next time. We're out.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.